Well, you've heard the saying, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And in the past, we've talked about living a blameless life and living the Word and also the living Word. So today I'd like to talk to you about living faith in the Word. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we can start there. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to Yahweh must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. How would it be possible to please Yahweh without steadfastness in the works of those things taught from His own Word? If we don't have faith that He is and that His Word is truth, then we would not be here, would we? We have the ability to be pleasing to Him because we believe and have faith that what He says is true and that we can come to Him. And speaking of Israel and knowing how to address rebellion, Joshua quotes the following passage in dealing with the devil himself. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, quoted and actually stated by Joshua in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. He says, He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every thing that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, every word that proceeds out of His mouth. Notice that the message, though a reference spoken to Israel, is for man, as in mankind specifically. So what happened to Bible-believing people today? Why aren't they living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh? They have basically said, Yahweh's word does not apply to us today. That is what's being said. Even though they don't say it in those words, they are saying that when they say the law is done away with, that we don't have to apply that to our lives. That is absolute nonsense. Jeremiah 8:8, how can you say we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. They're so shameful, they don't even say that the law is with us. They say the law is done away. And I think we can think of Christian teachers who interpret the law as done away with and with such writings in their own commentaries. We can also think of what has happened to Judah with interpretations of the law that actually promote the breaking thereof. Didn't Joshua address such things in the oral law of the Pharisees, which broke Yahweh's own laws? And they were and are still proud of such things even today. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. That word faith there is Hebrews 5:30. It's emunah. It means steadfastness, faithfulness, one who is faithful and steadfast. We also find faith defined in Scripture as found in Hebrews 11:1. Won't necessarily turn there, but it says the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, which we can turn to, says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. How do we view faith? That is, how do we view faith today? Do we have living faith? Do we have the living faith in the word of Yahweh? Abraham Lincoln said, faith is not believing that Yahweh can, but that Yahweh will. Indeed, if Yahweh is for us, who can be against us, as the word says? Do you know that faith is a gift? That is actually part of the gifts of the Spirit, having faith. Romans 12 and verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as Yahweh has allotted to each a measure of faith. It's Yahweh's doing. Faith, like the Spirit, is apportioned to each of us. The question is, do we all receive the same amount? Not necessarily. But we each have a close but varying degree of faith by the Spirit given to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing His will. But our minds, our hearts have been open to Yahweh's word. And we have faith that His word is true. 1 Corinthians 12:7-9. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. These are an increased abundance for some individuals, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Verses 10 through 11 goes on to say, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Faith can also be transferred. How is that possible? By being taught to others, it can be transferred. Go to 2 Timothy 1:5. For I am mindful, this is Paul talking to Timothy, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. They taught from the Word. They taught Timothy, and so he grew up knowing the Word. And we, of course, know that, that was what's referred to as the Old Testament. Today we refer, we have the New Testament, and I've been saying Brit HaKodesh, but it's actually Brit Hadasha. Brit Hadasha. Am I still saying that wrong? Am I? Brit Hadasha. Hadashah, I'm sorry, Brit Hadashah. Okay, still learning, but it's a new covenant, it's a New Testament. It's what we have today codified within the overall writings. But what they had back then was the Tanakh. So, the words we speak have life. The words the disciples spoke had life because they are from Scripture. Old Testament and for today, New Testament, they are all from Yahweh. Romans 9:14 through 17. I was just describing that I'd gone through speech therapy when I was a child. I'm still having difficulty with speech even today. So some things, they don't leave you right away. They stick with you. Nevertheless, Romans 10:14 through 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who have they not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Yeshayah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of the Messiah. Now, remember that last part. We'll talk a little bit about that. But we heard the message and received it because we had been given understanding that it is true from Yahweh's word. We now share the evangel message to others. The disciples, they also knew, as we do today, that Yahshua was the Word in the Old Testament and New Testament, providing both to us. But if we dig deeper into the last verse, evidently taking from the earliest manuscripts, the Young's literal translation says, of the Bible says, the Word of Elohim, not the Word of Messiah. In checking the Aramaic version of this passage, it also says, the Word of Elohim, which is the word of Yahweh, of course. Nevertheless, to go against the word of Messiah or the word of Yahweh, because the Messiah was in line with the word of Yahweh. He didn't sin, so we understand that. But to go against either is sin, because it's ultimately going against Yahweh's word. So how do we define sin? Well, does faith have a role in that? Romans 14:23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. It's, of course, talking about an individual back at that time who was maybe not wanting to eat any meat from the market, because the market meats were sacrificed to pagan idols at times. And maybe you couldn't tell which one was which, but you didn't want to have any of that because you thought, well, even though it's clean, it would be not good to eat because it was sacrificed to a pagan idol, and you know, they weren't wasteful, they wanted to make money off the sacrifices that they did. That's another study in itself, but we know that sin is defined as breaking Yahweh's instructions. It's also defined as knowing what to do, but not doing it. Here we find that whatever is not from faith is sin. And if we doubt that what we are doing is right, and we do it anyway, it stands for sin for us. This is why we are to know what we believe and to stand firm in it, according to the word of Yahweh and not deviating from it. The truth is a lifeline for us. It shows us the straight and narrow path. It shows us that gate which Yahshua lived. He is that door that leads into eternal life. His example is something for us to follow. And the Spirit given to us helps us understand. And we are able to hear the Messiah's voice because he speaks of his Father's word in his Spirit. But faith is not to be alone without the word. 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, Paul speaking here, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So faith alone is not enough. Just as James stated of faith, without works is dead. If faith is without love, it is also dead. It would be like rowing a boat with just one oar. You're going to end up going in circles, not really getting anywhere. And many things should be included with faith besides love and works. 1 Thessalonians 5:8-9. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith, love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For Elohim has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. There is also the belt of truth, the feet covered with peace, the sword of the word of Yahweh. All these things and more should be in our lives if we have the kind of faith that is worth having. Do we always have this kind of faith? What's been the example? Matthew 14:26-28. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," speaking of the Master. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Yahshua spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Well, Master, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." Verses 29-31, he continuing says, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Yahshua. But seeing the wind, he immediately became frightened, began to sink. And he cried out, "Master, save me." And immediately Yahshua stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" We can say the same thing about ourselves today. Why, you know, when we go through certain things, why didn't I act differently through that situation? Why didn't I have the kind of faith that I thought I did have? Well, it takes time, takes growth in ourselves to perfect ourselves. And ultimately, if we're leaning toward Yahweh's Spirit, that Spirit is going to be helping us and guiding us along with the Word. So we have to have faith that these things will be worked out, but we have to keep on keeping on and doing those things which we know are pleasing to the Father. You know, we find out that there are other examples in the Word, such as Abraham, who is told to leave his home. And in a sense, we have already done the same, leaving the world. We've left the world behind, you know, which was our world and the way of doing things. Abraham was told to sacrifice his son. Well, are we sometimes forced to choose to give up those things which we love? I know of at least one individual who was forced to choose his faith over his wife. Well, he was going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. She was not a believer, and she said, "Well, if you go, I'm leaving." Well, he went, and he went back, and she didn't leave. So that worked out. Another one was told that he wouldn't have a job if he went to the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, he went anyway. And when he got home, he lost his job. But it still works out, doesn't it? But we still go through some suffering at times, don't we? Another example, Gideon's army reduced to almost nothing compared to what there had been. And I was reading through that account, and Judges 6:16, it says, I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Here I thought he had, you know, but the sense is that he was looked upon as being the individual that would spearhead this defeat of the Midianites. But it, you know, he started out with 33,000, got whittled down to something like 300 after it was all said and done. But he still went in and accomplish what Yahweh had for him. And we need to take the same stand. We need to accomplish what Yahweh would have for us, even if we are few in number. That's how Yahweh works. And, you know, I think people will be amazed when things are all said and done of just how much work has been done by so few. But my human nature desires that we have lots of workers here at the assembly. Well, I'm sure you have situations where you also desire more help to get the job done. But doesn't the job get done with the help that there already is? David confronting Goliath. Thought the kids would be here today, so I brought some cartoons. But David confronting Goliath. Any Goliaths in our lives? Do we sometimes have to confront them with Yahweh's word? Does Yahweh ultimately provide the victory? Even though we are weak, isn't he strong? Certainly stronger than us. And if we're relying on him, doesn't he provide? I think he does. There's Daniel. Daniel, when faced with the lion's den, you know, have we been faced with death yet for our faith? The time may come in our lifetime when we're told to worship the beast or submit to his system. We may be confronted with a sword at our throat, being told to submit to a false prophet or a false deity or something else. What scripture will we recall if that happens? Possibly Matthew, Yahshua's own words, Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Where's our priorities? Our priority is first and foremost with what Yahweh would have of us, what Yahweh wants us to do. And he certainly doesn't want us to commit false worship. He wants us to have a living faith in his word. And that means living faith in his word. It means walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Will we be able to speak as Paul, 2 Timothy 4:7-8? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which Yahweh, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also all who have loved his appearing. That's encouraging. 2 Corinthians 10:12-14. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which Elohim apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach you, for we were the first to come even as far as you, in the evangel of Messiah. Going on 15-18, it says, not boasting beyond our measure, that is in men's labor, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere enlarged even more by you, so as to preach the evangel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another, but he who boasts is to boast in Yahweh. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom Yahweh commends. It's a lot of wording there, but ultimately, we are to lift up the word of Yahweh. We are to point toward Yahweh and his son. We are to help people find that path that leads to eternal life. And many don't want to walk that path. They want to walk the broad way. Well, we know the broad way leads to destruction. And there's few anywhere that find the path and the door that leads into eternal life. There's confusion out there. There is an anti-Messiah spirit that is abounding. And an anti-Messiah spirit is just simply something against the Messiah. What's against the Messiah? Well, someone teaching that the law is done away with is against the Messiah. It's against his message. Something else that's against the Messiah is, you know, walking the broad way. Well, what's walking the broad way? It's contrary to Yahweh's word. So it still gets back to the having faith in Yahweh's word. And ultimately, we understand that we are to have faith in the Messiah. But the evidence that we're given in Scripture shows us in Revelation 14:12, you know, here's the patience or the endurance of the saints, those that keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the faith of Yahshua. Well, what was his faith? We pointed out this before, that the faith of Yahshua, not just in him, but of him, is how he lived, and he lived according to the word. So again, it goes back to the, you know, living the faith in the word. Faith is expected to grow in us. Things such as works will also increase with increased faith, but boasting should not increase. The work one does is boasting enough if it's done in Yahweh's will. We are to be at peace. We're to be loving, faithful, humble people, living the faith in the word. And what does the word have to say about the word? Well, as Yahweh told Habakkuk, he tells us the righteous will live by his faith. Simply, we are to be steadfast in the ways of Yahweh. We are to be believing that he will provide. We are to have living faith, which is combined with the other attributes such as love and the works found in the word. Yahshua says, my words will not pass away. Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. How important is it for us to live by those words? It's truly the entire word, all of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:14-16. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. Again, Paul speaking to Timothy, and he knew the word. He was given the word from his grandmother, from his mother. He was taught in the way. This is how it was to be from the beginning. Abraham was to teach his children and his children's children, and so on and so forth. So this process continues. But knowing whom you've learned them from, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Messiah Yahshua. All Scripture is inspired by Elohim, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All of it. But training in righteousness. How many are willing to be trained in righteousness? They say righteousness is done away with. I mean, they may not say it like that, but that's essentially what they're saying when they say that the law is done away with. We need to faithfully abide in the law, and in doing so, we abide in righteousness. We produce righteous works. Works that were prepared for us beforehand, so we may walk in them. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of Elohim to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. We know that Yahshua spoke in parables to keep certain people from understanding at this point in time. But there is an appointed time for these people later. And for many of them, it will be in the second resurrection. But the underlying promise here, you know, is the glory of Elohim to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. The underlying promise is those who discover the wealth and beauty of Yahweh's word will be rewarded with kingship, essentially. And this goes into prophecy where Yahshua promises those that overcome will sit with him on his seat, on his throne. He's going to rule the nations. If we're going to sit with him, we'll rule the nations with him, under his guidance, and be a nation of priests, with Yahshua being the high priest in the Melchizedek order. But in the meantime, we have to do what 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. How important is the Bible to us? Do we believe its message of repentance and changing from disobedience to obedience, from the road to life, from death? Do we believe that we must get in line with Yahweh's will and have faith like Abraham? Faith in the word of Yahweh, like keeping the Sabbath and not profaning it, but rather keeping it holy as we are to be holy, knowing that it is a sign between us and him, and there is a reward coming. How firm is our belief in Yahshua, that he'll return and bless those that live according to his word and are waiting patiently for him? 2 Peter 3:9-11. Yahweh is not slow concerning the promise, or his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of Yahweh will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with the roar of the elements, will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and righteousness? What will it be like for us? Will we have the sinking feeling when the heavens are removed with a loud noise, a roaring sound, or will we be ready to think this is what was prophesied to happen? May Yahweh have mercy and look forward with great expectation to a new heavens and a new earth. 2 Peter 3:13-14. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, blameless. Spotless, blameless. And yet ministers today say, well, we can't be blameless. Yahweh says to be blameless. Peter said, be blameless. So who's lying? I'd rather believe the word. I'd rather believe what Yahweh says. So is this what we're seeking? Are we seeking to be spotless and blameless? Are we living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh? Are we studying the word to know what it says and do? Or will we be deceived when the anti-Messiah comes? You know, there's all sorts of anti-Messiahs today. I was just watching a documentary with my wife about a Russian Russian Messiah, so-called Messiah. And it's weird that all these people, I mean, a lot of people are all in a communal type community. And this fellow's got long hair, he looks like Anglo-Saxon. It looks like the images, you know, that we see in some of the images that we see of the Messiah, which doesn't reflect who the Messiah looked like. He didn't have long hair. He would have had short hair, and he wasn't anything he wasn't beautiful necessarily, common looking, would blend into the crowds, for example. Anyway, this fellow in Russia, he's got quite the following, and he's wearing a long white robe, and he came down out of the mountain as the people were gathered together, and this was all on camera. And he came down and sat down on a throne above all the people. And he had the mic and he rolled it over to him. And he spoke a few words. And he got up and they walked back up the mountain. Looked very spiritual. But what's he teaching the people? The fact that he's claiming to be the Messiah is a big red flag. But we're told in Matthew 24 that these things are coming. There's a fellow down in Mexico, the Mexican Messiah. He's living like the world. He's got women on his arms. He's got a cigar in one hand and a glass of whiskey in the other. Living like the world. And people are following him. People are deceived. They don't know what to believe. And I think part of the problem is of all the different beliefs out there. And it's even getting confusing, with those looking in, seeing all the different sacred names, so-called sacred names, and different beliefs that are, you know, it's becoming more and more ecumenical. It's not to be that way. Yahweh's not ecumenical. He says, you do it this way, and that is the way. There's no, there's no wiggle room about it. And so we're to follow what he shows us to do. And I was talking to an individual yesterday who I was very happy to hear from. He called and said, you know, he's 67 and he's been in the Catholicism for most of his lifetime. And he says, he can't believe what he's seeing now. He says he can't believe how deceived he was. And I said, you know, when it comes down to it, Yahweh's word is where the rubber meets the road. If what is around us doesn't line up with the word, we've got to reject it. And that's exactly what we're doing here. We see the side of Judaism, in which they have the law, but they have all these other different things going on, and they deny the Messiah for the most part. Then we have, on the other side, Christianity, who accepts the Messiah, or at least a form of the Messiah, but denies the law. We accept both the Messiah and the law, and we're looked at as odd, strange, the minority, and indeed we are the minority. A greater minority, or a smaller minority, I guess it should be said, than even Judaism. Judaism makes up only 1% of the religious different beliefs that are out there. We're less than 1% of 1%, I do believe. But Yahweh is going to cause something that is going to amaze the world. He has plans for us, good plans, things wondrous that we cannot imagine. And so it's worth everything to overcome and to not worry about what's happening in the world so much, but what's happening with ourselves. Are we growing? Are we walking the walk that leads to eternal life? That's what we need to focus on. And again, if we are believing something that isn't in line with the word, we have to adjust our thinking and make sure that it does. Because Yahweh is not an ecumenical mighty one. He is for his way of life for us. And that way does produce life. It is life. Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 19. So this I say and affirm together with Yahweh, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of immorality and greediness. Continuing in 20 through 24, it says, but you did not learn Messiah in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Yahshua. The living word is in him. He is the living word. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance to the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of Elohim has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Continuing on, verse 25 through 28, closing out in this section. Therefore, lay aside falsehood, speak truth to one another and his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Well, this is kind of hard because we have to give up of ourselves. And as we've read of the rich man who was unwilling to give up what he had to follow the true Messiah, you know, for him, his wealth had become his Messiah. And even though he kept the other commandments from his youth, so the truth is, if you break one commandment, you break them all, because ultimately he lost out on being a first fruit, unless he repented and came to his senses. We don't know, but Yahshua gave that example, that individual. So, you know, we have to understand what Yahweh's word says. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you are robbing me. Because you say, well, how have we robbed you? Well, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring in the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And so when we think about this, a lot of people will try to argue against passages like this and say, well, that was for, you know, physical food, go into the temple. We don't do anything like that today. Well, wait a minute. What's in the storehouse here? Spiritual food. And what are we told? What was Peter told? What was the question presented to him? Do you love me? Peter said, well, of course I love you. You know all things. He repeated that a couple different times, three times. Bothered Peter. Should bother us too. Do we love Yahshua? Do we love Yahweh? Do we love His Word? Are we committed? You know, where our heart is, there our treasure will be. But we're producing, Yahweh is producing spiritual fruit and food for the people. These are Yahweh's words, not mine. The food being talked about here is for us today, spiritual food, not physical food. Just as we're in the Melchizedek order, not in the Levitical order. We have a storehouse of unadulterated, clean spiritual food for the nations as a witness before the day of Yahweh. We're being fed right now with spiritual food, and we'll be fed later with the same because it comes from the same Spirit, Yahweh's Spirit. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 12. For thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep. So I will care for the sheep, for my sheep, and will deliver them from all the places in which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. Is he talking about sheep? Is he talking about physical sheep, animals? Ezekiel 34, 13 through 14. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. They will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Going on. Through 16, I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares Yahweh Elohim. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Yahweh will feed his sheep in the future, because ultimately Yahweh will bring all 12 tribes back in the land of Israel and any who will join with them. And if judgment is coming, as well as promised blessings, shouldn't we prepare now by the living word rather than just reading it, but living it? Have you not been baptized? I'm speaking to those out in internet land, out in their homes, out in their cars, they'll be listening to this. Have you not been baptized in the saving name of Yahshua the Messiah? And yet you know you should be. Have you thought about coming to the feast of Yahweh? Not just the Feast of Tabernacles, there's other sojourning feasts. But you haven't saved the second tithe to do so, as the Word tells us to do? Have we gotten caught up in the world, not realizing, you know, with our careers and our, you know, are you caught up in the world, not realizing that the world and all the works therein will be destroyed with intense heat, melting the very elements within it? We need to ask ourselves, are we living the Word, and are we living, or are we living without it? Are we living in true faith, or do we have the faith which is worthless? It's like repentance. Paul was expressing, you know, saddened to say certain words because it brought sadness, but it brought sadness to repentance, and that he was happy for. Not like the sadness of the world, which is not true repentance. I mean, people are sorry that they get caught when they steal. People are sorry for different things because it didn't work out for them. But we here are sorry unto repentance for the things we've done in the past, and we don't desire to repeat anything that's against Yahweh's will. And so we work towards overcoming. We are in the process of overcoming. And it's those that overcome to the end who will be truly blessed beyond belief. And so it's worth giving up everything. And we may be called to give up our own lives. Are we willing to do that? I think we better make our minds clear about such things and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For those that have other thoughts, Ezekiel 18, 30 through 32, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his own conduct," his works. And don't we find that even in the second resurrection, that's how judgment will come, based upon works? Revelation 20, you can read it for yourself. So Yahweh declares, "Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares Yahweh Elohim. Therefore repent and live." And that's not a message people want to hear today. Repent? Yahweh knows my heart. Yeah, he knows it's corrupted and a wicked thing. Who can know it? We have to lean not on our own understanding, but on Yahweh's understanding, and be obedient to his word, which is being promoted as essentially worthless in the churches today. Because they say, well, his law is done away with. It's nonsense. The law is good for us. We were talking about putting linen with wool together. We're not supposed to do that. You know, if you wash it, one will pull away from the other. It's like putting a mule with an ox, and they'll go around in circles because they're unequally yoked. The laws are for our own good. Even the ones that we think are kind of silly and we don't really understand what was going on back then, because we don't partake in agriculture today, for the most part. But there are reasons why certain things were done and not done. Mixing seed, well, one pulls nitrogen, another puts nitrogen in. And farmers today know that they should rotate their crops because of that. There's different things that, come out in time that Yahweh knew way back thousands upon thousands of years ago, and had these things for the people so that they wouldn't, that they would be productive and not waste time. Neither should we waste time. But don't we waste time if we ignore Yahweh's word? Well, I think we do if we do that. I was listening to a Messianic teacher on CD who emphasized the law was done away with, and yet taught that Yahshua kept the law. What kind of disconnect is there with that? That's a great disconnect, because Yahshua was our example. And he came to give that example and as a sacrifice for our sins, but we are to walk in his footsteps. He came to forgive us of our sins, so not so we would continue to walk in them. It's just another disconnect if we think otherwise. But Yahshua's words will not pass away. And he was a Dabar in the Old Testament. He's a Logos in the New. And though heaven and earth will pass, his words won't, and as we've already read. Those of us who have been immersed and received Yahweh's Spirit through the laying on of hands of the eldership are now being led by the Spirit. If our lives are truly walking in the Spirit and are walking according to the Word, our lives are hidden in him. And we are free from the ultimate death penalty that breaking Yahweh's laws brought. I mean, we all have that you know, we're all guilty of bringing the Messiah to the stake because of our own sins. But we do not go on living in sin now that we've been shown what is what, and what is in the Word. The clean versus unclean, the right versus the wrong. It's there for us. We just need to walk in it. And by doing so, we'll walk in the Spirit as well, because the Spirit isn't going to be contrary to that. We walk anew. We study and use the Bible as a guide from Genesis to Revelation. We live in the Word, and by doing so, we renew our minds and our hearts to be fully committed to the way of life that Yahweh will bring in the coming kingdom, in which we are hoping to be there as spirit beings, to be a part of that. And all will in the kingdom of Yahweh be taught to walk in His Word. Micah 4, and we'll close out with a scripture, Micah 4, 1 through 2, "And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. They will say, 'Let us go up and learn of His ways, of His paths, of His law.'" It's all talking about the same thing, His Word. "Let us work together, living in His Word and helping others to do the same now, so we can stand before Yahshua on the day He returns, not with fear, but with steadfastness and humbleness of heart, knowing we did everything to live according to His will." Living faith in the Word. That is really where the rubber meets the road. Doing Yahweh's will according to His Word. Hallelujah.